22nd and the last day of our seminar on mercy. And yesterday we heard how the Lord comes to sit in our heart and how we get the mercy through the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. He is mercy personified. When Krishna wants to give mercy, then he sends his pure devotee. And that is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, is to give mercy. Because all of us are mercy cases, and we desperately need the mercy. So as we have gotten the mercy, we must also give the mercy to others. We heard a lot about suffering people yesterday, materialistic people. And so we're meant to help them and give them mercy. Now, we did have a little homework from yesterday, and that was, how is the mercy coming to you today? So if anybody would like to share some mercy they got in two sentences, because we don't have so much time, we can't hear your life story, we would like to hear if anybody did have that experience of getting some mercy today. Even you can say it in one word, but if you like to say explain it, you can have two sentences. Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
I got your association in
my
house.
And I got your prasadam in your house. That was my expectation of mercy for today, and it was fulfilled. Anybody else get some mercy? Yes, Rangavati. Okay.
And so the mercy of watching these kids do this amazing job.
Right, okay. The mercy of our second generation doing amazing devotional service. That is the mercy. Yes, I see that. In Rath Yatra also, I saw the performance on the stage of our second generation was quite amazing. And it was very much merciful. It was very much mercy. For the even the non-devotees were doing the mudras, you know, following Vrinda. I saw them, some of these really far out people doing mudras in the audience. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Nirmala.
I was thinking about what you had us do last night. So as soon as I got up, I was thinking like that. And then at the morning program, it really hit me when Prabhuji was saying the jaya prayers and Gandhamayi Kichyayi and Lunamayi Kichyayi. And I thought, every day we have so much mercy, but personally I get on automatic pilot and just
right.
Kind of forget. But at the calling of those names this morning, I just thought about what you said. I said, every day we have such a merciful life by which Srila Prabhupada gave us in our regular program.
So every day we have unlimited mercy. We just have to open our eyes and see it. Yes, this is a fact. The mercy is hitting us on the head like rain. But we don't realize it. But today we were opening our eyes to see how is the mercy coming. So the Jayam prayers, that's really mercy. Ganga Devi, Josi Devi, Jamuna Devi. Anybody else experience? Yes. You got prasadam. You were expecting, you can. Prabhupada said you can eat your way back to Godhead. And he said, in one lecture, he said, we are so proud of our eyes. We want to see God. He said, but you must taste God. You must taste Him. And we're tasting Him in the Holy Name, and we're tasting Him in prasadam. Just like if some prasadam comes in front of you, you say, okay, let me see it. Doesn't mean see it, means let me taste it. And so we can realize God by tasting. And that is recommended. Sevan Mukhihi Jivado, beginning with the tongue, we can realize Krishna. Very good. And I'm sure you can enlighten us more later on as you grow older on your realizations on tasting Krishna. Okay. Anybody else have some mercy come today? Yes.
Attentiveness
in chanting. Wonderful. We talked about unconscious chanting. There was a verse. So very wonderful. Akuti? Oh, you dressed Krishna Balaram. That's amazing mercy. Okay. You got to touch the Lord today, putting his clothes on. Yes? Yeah, oh, Radhi Shyam. Oh, I thought you only dressed Krishna Balaram. Okay. All right. Yes, Sukha.
Two things. One, it's just being
being in Tulsi worship this morning.
And then this afternoon I went swimming down the beach and talking with my son. It was especially beautiful. There was hardly anybody there.
Right.
The water was so clear, which reminded me of a conversation that Prabhupada was having. When he came to America, he was noting how polluted so many rivers
right.
were.
How many polluted rivers?
How Krishna had the perfect plan of creating the rivers and the oceans and
good.
Just all nice clean water.
Good. Okay, you appreciated the mercy of the clean rivers that are still here in Alachua County, I believe. I'm not in Alachua, maybe somewhere nearby. Okay, great. This is the mercy. Any other mercy? You see, mercy is coming the whole every day, but we don't realize it. Yeah.
Devotee friendships.
Devotee friendships.
And some service.
And service. Good. Very good. When you come to the level of Ruchi, then you're like in this consciousness all the time, that you're saying, oh, Tulsi Arati, wow, I can't wait. And you know, everything is like so attractive and so wonderful for you when you come to that level. You see everything with these eyes. So hopefully we got a little taste today of what it feels like to be in that level of consciousness looking for mercy. Anybody else have this experience? Yes. Words of the Spiritual Master. Okay, good. All right, so let's go on today. We have, we will finish the prayers of Lord Brahma, and then we will see how the Lord reciprocates with him, how he answers his prayers. So you don't have anything until verse 22, I believe. So I will read the verse 16 to 21. 16 is about the root of the tree of the planetary systems. So Brahma is offering his obeisances to the root of everything, the Lord. So when something happens to us in this world, we should go to the root of the matter, and that is Krishna. Now, also this verse of the root of the tree defeats the impersonalist theory that Brahman is void, because Vishnu is the root of the material tree, which is full of variety, and this is a reflection of the real tree. So just like there is variety in the reflection, there is variety in the reality. So we should go for the variety. Don't go for the impersonal void. In verse 17, he's talking about foolish people who don't do really beneficial activities for Krishna, and all their plans in the struggle for existence are cut to pieces by inevitable time. And a very interesting thing that Prabhupada says in the purport about jnana and yoga. Prabhupada says, everybody knows what is the jnana process. It's like speculation. And yoga is to try to get mystic powers, try to do asanas for this purpose. Okay, thank you. Mercy? Jai? So Prabhupada said, jnana and yoga are nothing but conditions of rebellion against the Lord. Can you believe that? I thought, you know, they weren't too bad. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of course, if you do them for him, then they're okay. But if you don't add Krishna to your speculation and to your yoga, then it's rebellion. And what about the rest of the people of the world? They are systematically unmindful of the real beneficial work. Systematically unmindful. Have you met people like that, that are systematically unmindful, that they have a whole plan how to not think of Krishna and how to try to succeed on their own? And so verse 18, I offer respects to you who are indefatigable time. Although I'm in a place where I will live for two parardhas, I'm the leader of all other planets, I've done so many years of austerity, still I offer my respects to you. So here is Brahma. Does anybody know how long is Brahma's life? It is some 311 trillion in some billion years. So nobody can top that. Nobody can top that. And if you don't make it back to Godhead in this life, you might end up in the heavenly planets. And then you go up, up. It takes a long time to get to Brahmaloka. And finally you get there and you have to live so long before you can go back to Godhead. So better we do it in this life. Prabhupada urged us to go back to Godhead in this life. So verse 19, he's talking about, my Lord, by your will, you come into various species, animal life, demigods, to do your pastimes, but you're not affected. And I offer my obeisances to you for manifesting such forms. So why do we have all these different forms of the Lord? He appears as a hog, but he's always transcendental. So there's a lot of things we can learn. Just for example, the Varaha incarnation, he comes to lift up the earth. So when we hear all these things in the first nine cantos, we won't be surprised when Krishna, a small boy, can lift up Govardhan Hill. Because he's the source of all incarnations. And so this is a preparation for us. Prabhupada said, if you scrutinizingly study the first nine cantos, by the end of the ninth canto, you'll become a God-realized soul. He says this in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is very wonderful. Verse 20, another prayer. My Lord, you accept the pleasure of sleeping in the water of devastation where there are violent waves, and you enjoy pleasure in the bed of snakes, showing the happiness of your sleep to intelligent persons. At that time, all the universal planets are stationed within your abdomen. So, when the Lord sleeps, then he's having fun. And this is the original floaty. Lord Anantashesha is the original floaty, and Vishnu is showing us how to float on that floaty. So people who take a floaty, a rubber mat, and somebody went to the Chittakni River, you see a lot of them, the floating things, but they get this idea from Mahavishnu and Shesha. He was the original. And he's having a good time enjoying on the cool body of Ananta Shesha. So, when Krishna took Arjuna through the layers of the universe to the Brahma Jyoti, he saw a strong hurricane of transcendental effulgence blowing. Now here we have other kind of hurricanes. But in spiritual world, they have hurricanes there too? But it's a hurricane of effulgence, according to Krishna book. And so this may happen in where Mahavishnu is in the Karana ocean. That's where they went. Krishna and Arjuna went to see Mahavishnu, and there was a hurricane of transcendental effulgence blowing. And so this is the spiritual world, hurricanes of effulgence. And he's having a good time sleeping on the cool body of Shesha. So now, the next prayer, Lord Rama says, I'm born from the house of your navel. This is verse 21, Canto 3, Chapter 9. And all these planets were stationed in your abdomen while you were sleeping. Now your sleep is ended, your eyes are open like blossoming lotuses. So this is Lord Rama, it's his Mangalarti. He's offering prayers, he's waking up the Lord the beginning of his day. Just like we also come and wake up the Lord and we sing and dance for him. So Lord Brahma is waking up Lord Vishnu, beginning of his day. But Srila Prabhupada says a very interesting thing in the purport. So he says, I want to ask you what you think about this. Foolish impersonalists always think backwards. How do impersonalists think backwards? Prabhupada said they think backwards. What does it mean to think backwards? Yes, Shisha.
Well, I think it might mean that they look at the material world and go through a process of making a conversion of the personal conception of God.
Okay.
Rather than starting
from the absolute, they look at the material world and go backwards. Okay. Any other ideas? Janmashtami, you had something?
Well, rather than seeing Krishna as the source of everything, they see the impersonal Brahman as the source.
Okay, that's another way they think backwards. They think the Brahman is the source rather than Krishna. Any other ways that the impersonalists think backwards? They think worshipping Krishna is a way to get to Brahman. Okay, and in the back, you had your hand up?
I was thinking like they they think of pleasure as not spiritual.
Good. Okay. And here's what Prabhupada says. In spirit, there cannot be sleep, because in matter, there is sleep. Actually, the opposite is true. So they think whatever we see in this world, it cannot be in the spiritual world. So that's how they think backwards. Because in matter, there is sleep, so in spirit, there cannot be sleep. But the Lord is sleeping. He's actually sleeping. When I was in India distributing books, one person said to me, just, you know, I think the reason why he's lying on that bed, Vishnu, is because he's sick. So, you know, all these speculations. That's thinking backwards. That's an example of thinking backwards. No, he's because he's enjoying. Whatever he does, he's enjoying. When he sleeps, he's enjoying. Okay, good. So now Brahma is offering prayers. Archana. Prabhupada says this verse indicates archana, offering prayers. So now the next verse we will say together, verse 22. That is, he's praying for, now he's having a request, and he's praying for mercy and power of introspection to create. So we'll sing it together. So, I'll say it first and then you repeat after me. Sorry. Soyam samasta jagatam suhite ka atma. Soyam samasta jagatam suhite ka atma. Sat venayan mitayate bhagavan pakena. Sat venayan mitayate bhagavan pakena. Tenaiva me disham anuspishatat yataham. Shaksyami purva vatitam panata piyosa. Shaksyami purva vatitam panata piyosa. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world. And he maintains all for their ultimate happiness by his six transcendental opulences. May he be merciful towards me so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create. For I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. So he has some logic in his prayers that he's saying, you're merciful to the surrendered souls and I'm a surrendered soul. So therefore, you should be merciful to me. I'm trying to do your service. He's praying for drisham, his vision. The vision, introspection, is translated by Prabhupada as introspection to create. So if we want to serve Krishna, we need introspection. Srila Prabhupada, he never gave us, if we asked him how to do something, he never gave us like formulas that you have to do it like this. Whenever he would ask us, he would give us, usually he would just say, just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna, and the answers will come from within. Like one time, one of my godbrothers in Germany, Prabhupada was telling him, you have to translate, you have to print the books in German language. And he was thinking, I don't know German, how am I going to do this? The Prabhupada said, you just chant Hare Krishna, and all the answers will come from within. And Prabhupada said that there is an individual genius in every living being. So genius, we all have genius. So that devotee thought about that, and he looked up the word genius. Now, this was 40 years ago, it probably is different now. What did it say in the dictionary, the definition of genius? Indwelling deity. Indwelling, we all have this indwelling deity. We all have genius within us. And that is super soul, the source of our intelligence. Now, we all have it, but how do we access it? How do we access this reservoir of genius intelligence within us? We have it within our power to access it. A very simple way. Who can tell me? How can we access this intelligence within our heart? How can we access super soul? How can we tap this reservoir of intelligence?
I'm asking you a question,
yes. Now you have the answer?
Serving the devotees.
Okay, yes. Yes. Yes, Jan Hare Krishna. I would agree with you. Yes.
Reading
Prabhupada's books. Oh, very good. Yeah, yes, Sankalpa.
Praying like anything.
Praying like anything, okay. Yes, you had your hand up? No, okay. Yeah, I would agree with all of these, and my personal experience is that chanting Hare Krishna, if you chant very attentively, then you get a reservoir of intelligence, and you realize that it's not your intelligence, because you couldn't have thought of these things before. It's beyond what you could have ever thought of. If you chant Hare Krishna attentively, it's very simple. Then we can access. Like my son Govinda, he said, Mom, you know, when he was a teenager, he said, if I could just talk to Super Soul, I would never be bored again. Now for teenagers, boredom is a very big problem. Boredom. I said, yes, you can. You can. You just have to chant very attentively and he will speak to you. And when you listen attentively, then Krishna will come and he will speak. He will give you answers. He will give you essays. I have that experience when I was teaching Bhagavatam. Sometimes I wouldn't understand a verse. I would read it, chant around, and then I would understand it. Or I sometimes a whole chapter, chapter 3, chapter 11 on time. So I read the whole chapter, chanted all my 16 rounds, and then I got a whole chart for the class, which I gave the class. And I hadn't thought of it before. So this chanting is very, very powerful. Reading the books is very powerful. All these things are very powerful. So we can do all of them. We can read the books, we can chant Hare Krishna, we can associate, serve the devotees, and we will get all the answers. And so Brahma is praying to the Lord's merciful side, please give me this power of introspection. So we need to open up our internal vision. And we do that by chanting. The Holy Name gives us everything. And so we just have to be conscious. Don't chant unconsciously, but be conscious of what we're doing. Yes, Jesha Prabhu.
When you're chanting, are you listening for that inner deity to speak to you, or are you listening to the sound of the mantra?
I'm just listening to the sound of the mantra. I don't listen to the Lord speak. I don't listen for that. It just comes naturally. That will come naturally if you listen to the mantra.
While
I'm chanting, I just listen to the mantra. But then, then the answers come. Yeah. No, I listen. That was just my Japa Reform program. Listen to the mantra, and if you listen long enough, then everything starts opening up, and you start hearing what you need to hear to advance the Krishna consciousness. Okay, so then now he's praying for mercy, for empowerment, for introspection to create. And now in verse 23, he's going to pray for something else. And this is for protection. Supreme Lord is the benefactor of surrendered souls. His activities are enacted through his internal potency, Rama. I pray only to engage in his service in creation of the material world. Now here is what he prays for. I pray it may not be materially affected by my works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. So protection from pride. And how do we know if we're being proud? It's very easy. Someone praises you and you say, yes, I did a good job, didn't I? No, we must not take the credit for what we do, because we know whatever we're doing in devotional service is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we give the credit to him, just like Srila Prabhupada. He gave the credit to his spiritual master and he gave the credit to us. He would say, oh, it's because you're all helping me so nicely, or my guru has sent you, or he would give the credit to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So, but one thing Prabhupada did take credit for, only one thing. Who knows what that one thing is?
He was hearing
well. That too. And he did not change anything, right? He gave it as it is, and that's what he took credit for. So I'd like to ask you a question that I assume that all of you have done something for Krishna today, maybe not even physically, but mentally. So what have you done today that you can give credit to the Lord for? What have you done you can give credit to Srila Prabhupada for? Has anybody done something you can give credit to Srila Prabhupada for? Yes, in the very back? What was that? Oh, he was playing redundant. Oh, very nice. And I think he played for me yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so who gets the credit for that? Prabhupada. Okay. All right. That when our children do something Krishna conscious, we can give the credit to Srila Prabhupada. Very good. Anybody else do something that you can give the credit, you can pass on the credit today? Yes?
I was a little bit selfless, but I did my duty very properly in one sense by buying the refrigerator that I didn't want to put for our tenant.
Okay, so you were doing some selfless work today.
Well, and also I distributed the book to the person that sold the
refrigerator. Very good. Good. So that's something you can give credit to Srila Prabhupada for, because normally we just go to the shop and we do our thing. We don't think about, you know, distributing books over there. So that's special mercy. It's very good. Anybody else do something you can give credit to Srila Prabhupada? If you hadn't been a devotee, you wouldn't have thought of distributing a book to the guy who sold the refrigerator. Okay. So this is very wonderful. We can give so many things that we can give credit to the Lord for. So verse 24, another prayer for protection. And that is a very important prayer. The Lord's potencies are innumerable as he lies in the water of devastation. I am born is a total universal energy from the navel lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray, in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. Deviation. So the first prayer is for protection from pride, and the second prayer is for protection from deviation. So what could be deviation from the Vedic hymns? I guess there's an example of Narada Muni, who was chanting cinema songs instead of Harinam with the beautiful girls in heavenly planets before he was Narada Muni, when he was a Vidyadhara. What's an example of a deviation that we should be careful about ourselves? What is deviation? What does that mean? Yes? We take some, what?
Mind.
If the mind, okay, we take the mind away from Krishna consciousness. Okay, if we do some material activities that have nothing to do with Krishna, okay, that could be deviation from the Vedic hymns. I guess the newspaper is not the Vedic hymns. Some of these magazines. Okay, anything, what other, yeah.
Philosophical discrepancy.
Using the philosophy for our own benefit. Misusing the philosophy to exploit someone. Misusing the philosophy for some personal motive that we want to gain something. That's a deviation. Yes, Sankalpa.
Wasting time with more mundane.
Wasting time with mundane. This is an anartha, weakness of heart. Weakness of heart. Okay, any other deviations that we should be careful of? Prabhupada said this is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. So, any other deviations we should be careful of? Yes. Being too critical, oh, very good. Critical mentality, yes, because whatever you're meditating, the negative you're meditating on, it's coming, you're experiencing it. You're actually doing it. The person himself may not be doing it, but you are doing it. And so, yeah, meditation on the critical mentality. So Prabhupada says one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and blessing to carry out one's duty. Protection. So we have to pray for protection from deviation and blessing. Means another thing it means is that we don't want to do anything independently of the other devotees. We want to get the blessings. So we want to get the blessings of the devotees. So if we just try to do something independently without sanction, without authority, then that can also be a deviation. We could, I mean, in Vrindavan it happens a lot. Devotees come and they start their own movement. In Vrindavan, a lot of them, we have a lot of movements started by ISKCON devotees in Vrindavan, of their own movements. So, yeah, that's deviation. They don't give the credit to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, anything else we should be careful of? Any other kind of deviations? Mm-hmm. Thinking that the morning program isn't really necessary, okay.
And eating boga.
Eating boga. Yes, if we eat boga, then what's going to happen to us? We may get material desires. Be very careful. Okay, so now Prabhupada said the path of spiritual life is like the edge of a sharpened razor. Little inattentiveness may at once create havoc and bloodshed. But if you're a surrendered soul, always seeking protection from the Lord, you have no fear of falling. So we have to be serious and realize that we are not such pure devotees. Another deviation I thought of is sometimes we have these weeds in our heart that are next to the creeper, and we're watering the weeds, and we think the weed is devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he lists so many of these weeds in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That we have to be careful about. Okay, so verse 25, the last verse of Brahma's prayers. The Lord, who is supreme as the eldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish he may smilingly bestow his benediction upon me by opening his lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking his directions. So I believe this is the prayer that the pujaris, some pujaris say. Some pujaris told me they say this prayer. Please, Lord, open your eyes when they wake him up in the morning. And Brahma, so this is Brahma's Mangal Arti. He's waking up the Lord and he's offering his prayers for protection, for empowerment, so he can do his service. So we also pray in the morning. We pray to the spiritual master, Samsara Dava, Nalita Loka, and that's a prayer for blessings, for protection, that we may follow the spiritual master, follow his instructions and do some service. Now there's a very interesting word that Lord Brahma, he's depressed. Why should Brahma be depressed? You know, I thought depression is for some, you know, ordinary people in the material world. And the word for it is vishada, dejection. Why is he dejected? Why is he unhappy? Because he cannot do his service. He sees all this devastating water everywhere. That was very depressing. You wake up in the morning and all you see is darkness and flood. You're flooded. You're up on top somewhere, and when you look down, all you see is water, and everything else is black. And you know, what are you going to do? So it's interesting that in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was also depressed. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Vishada Yoga, the yoga of lamentation. So Arjuna was lamenting for so many reasons. He didn't want to do his service to Krishna, so he was dejected. Brahma wants to do it, but he doesn't know how. So he's praying for help from Krishna. So what is the purpose of creation? He wants to create. And Prabhupada does explain the purpose of creation. A very interesting purpose of creation that Prabhupada gives here. Who can tell me what's the purpose of creation of this material world? Why is this created over here?
To display the mercy of the Lord.
What?
To display the mercy of the Lord.
Display the mercy of the Lord. Very nice. So my next question is, what is the mercy of the Lord? Good. Mercy is there. Compassion is there. The Lord is compassionate. Very good. Very good. The purpose of creation is to give us all a chance to develop love of God and go back home, back to Godhead. And join with Krishna, join in his transcendental party. There was one devotee recently in Mayapur. Her name is Manarupa, who left her body in Mayapur. And it was very interesting that her husband, Nishinga, Prahlad Nishinga, he was, you know, a lot of comments on Facebook, and he was answering all of them in a very Krishna-conscious way. And one person commented that, I pray that she will rest in peace. So his answer to that was, you know, the body, we are not the body. The body doesn't rest either. It just becomes ashes or dust. And the soul, you know, it doesn't rest. It's the party starts, you know. The party's just beginning when we leave the body. So she's going to go join the party, you know. It's not a question of rest and peace. So this is what this is about. The purpose of creation is to join the party. In the spiritual world. I mean, the party's just beginning. You're going to go up there and dance and sing forever, you know. It's not like you're going to rest in peace forever. we have a completely different conception of leaving the body than other religions do. Rest in peace, forget it. We're not going to. And this devotee, she was so amazing. I was watching it on Facebook. I was watching the videos from Mayapur. And there was one video, they were having kirtan, and you know how, you know, when someone's leaving their body, they're kind of sitting around the bed, one was massaging her hand, one was massaging her feet. And she was sitting up, and she looked and she said, come on, dance, dance. You know, and everybody started dancing like ecstatic kirtan, because that's what it is. That's what it is, that's the purpose of creation, that we join the party. We join the Harinam party in the spiritual world. And actually, we don't have to wait till the time of death. We can also join the party now. The party is just beginning. I heard at the end of Rath Yatra there was a huge Harinam party, and all of the beach people were dancing as well with the devotees. So yes, and Prabhupada, what does Prabhupada say in this purport? That there's a blissful reciprocation of enjoyer and enjoyed. And what is the typical example of this transcendental exchange? Is the Lord's Rasa-lila with the gopis. Gopis are expansions of internal potency, and the Lord's participation in the Rasa-lila is never considered to be mundane. So this, the Lord gives the fallen souls a chance for the highest perfection of life. So Lord Brahma, he's praying that the Lord bestow his blessings so he can execute the purpose. And our purpose is to go and join the party of eternal Harinam in the spiritual world. Eternal dancing, singing, and playing with Krishna. And eating with Krishna. For our prasad. Oh, he has gone anyway, yes. He can do that eternally. So, yes, so blessings are there. Now, verse 27, 28. The Lord is going to express, he's going to have empathic listening here. He saw that Brahma was depressed. He was anxious about the planning and construction of the universe. He was depressed on seeing the devastating water. He understood the intention of Brahma, so he spoke in very deep and thoughtful words. So verse 29, he said, O Brahma, depth of Vedic wisdom, don't be depressed or anxious about creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. So isn't this interesting? Prabhupada says in the purport, any person authorized by the Lord or his representative is already blessed. We all have the blessings of Prabhupada, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, we should think of how we're very incapable and look for the mercy of the Lord for successful execution of our duty. Don't be puffed up because we're entrusted with certain work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted. If he's always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will, he will come out successful. So when I was in Calcutta in 1975 or 76, Prabhupada came, and I was the pujari for Radha Govinda in that time when Prabhupada was here. And we had very amazing flowers in Calcutta. I had one man who was donating 50 garlands every day. For we just had two altars, Radha, Gaur Radha Govinda and Jagannath. So, and not only 50 garlands, I was changing the flowers five times a day. I had 144 lotuses every day, 144 roses every day. Every day, you know. It was very opulent. And so what happened, in the back of the deities, there was an open window. And in the window, on Radha Govinda's side, would come two big bumblebees. And they would circumambulate the deities and go sit in the lotus flowers. And on Jagannath's side, there were tiny, small bees. And they would come and sit on the garlands, just like it says. I was reading third canto. I said, Vaikuntha, the bees are sitting on the garlands. I said, yes. On Jagannath's side is Vaikuntha, and on Krishna's side we have the bumblebee, Radharani and the bumblebee, and it's Goloka. So Prabhupada, he really appreciated the decoration. He said when the bees are coming to the deities are pleased with the worship, so don't stop the bees if they want to come. But also, so one day he came for Darshanarti, he sat on his Vyasa son and started his lecture, and the first thing he called us up, he called the pujari, called the pujaris up, and he said, thank you very much for addressing the deity so nicely. And while we were offering obeisances, and he said something we didn't catch, and when sannyasi told us afterwards, that he said, be blessed. So then I felt, well, okay, you know, we've got the blessing, spiritual master. Then the next day I thought, well, okay, yesterday I got it, now today I have to earn it again. It's not like one day you get it, and then, of course, your life is perfect if the guru is pleased, but you have to keep earning it. You have to keep earning the blessings. So blessings are there every day, and we have to keep earning the blessings. So Brahma is repeatedly praying for blessings from the Lord. And if you get some service, then that's real mercy and a real blessing of the Lord. So we'll go to verse 30. He tells Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. So how to get the favor of the Lord? Three things. By these actions, you'll be able to understand everything from within your heart. So austerity, vidya, knowledge, and what ashrayam, under my protection. Of course, these things all can be found in the holy name. There is no greater austerity than chanting the holy name. There is no greater knowledge than chanting the holy name. Vidyavatu jivanam is the life of all knowledge. But of course, Prabhupada always put together kirtaneya sadahari, always chant Hare Krishna, and nityam bhagavata sevaya, that always serves Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada said, when we chant the holy name, then we can chant and be happy, then we're happy. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll become convinced of the philosophy. So we need to be convinced and we need to be happy also. So by chanting, it's okay if you're happy while you chant. It's nice, it's good. Don't think that you're enjoying it in the wrong way. So Prabhupada talks about mercy in the prayer part. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing responsible work entrusted to him is beyond imagination. So how did Prabhupada have mercy beyond imagination? You can tell me. I'm not going to tell you. You can tell me. If I tell you, it's boring. Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
In fact, following his spiritual master's order, he got on the Jaladutta and came to America.
He followed his spiritual master's order, came on the Jaladutta, and came to America. So that's how he got mercy beyond imagination. That's how he got it. And that was also mercy, yes. That was tapasya. That was amazing tapasya, austerity that Prabhupada did to get on that boat, follow the order of the spiritual master. Okay, anything else? Strong faith in the holy name. That was mercy, yes?
Freedom from the cycle of
pardon me?
Freedom from the cycle of birth and death.
Freed us from the cycle of birth and death. Oh, that was his mercy on us. Good. Okay, then one more answer over here on the lady's side.
Translating all the past
Yeah, I can't hear you, so... Just speak in the microphone.
Translating
all the books. Okay, this is the mercy. Right. Okay, one more sankalpa, and then we'll go to the next verses.
He made adjustments to the details of the process according to what he saw no kids can handle.
Okay, he made he made adjustments to the process. 16 rounds for us instead of 64. Okay, so now what can we expect if we get the mercy? Verses 31 to 33. First, 31, you will see Krishna within and without. 32, you will see Krishna, the super soul, within all beings. 33, you will see your swarup. So what is our swarup? Prabhupada explains in the purport. Very interesting thing about swarup. We hear a lot about swarup. So Prabhupada said, service attitude is the swarup, or real form, of the living entity. Isn't that interesting? Jiva swarupoi Krishna nityadas. We are servants, and that is our swarup. In Gita, he says, you can be Krishna conscious in 1 second, or it may take you millions of births. It's a matter of two things, understanding and accepting the facts. We have to understand, I am servant, and accepting the fact means that we adopt the service attitude. Okay, I'm a servant, therefore, let me serve. Let me do some service, practical service. Now, in the purport, he says, that the Mayavadi school shudders at the thought of a service attitude in the living entity. They shudders at the thought. Do we sometimes shudder at the thought of someone asks us to do some service? Shudders at the thought. Isn't that interesting? Why? Why do they shudder at the thought of service, who can say? Why do the impersonalists or anybody in this world shudder at the thought of service attitude? Yes, Jamashtami.
Because they have a competitive... because they're competing with Krishna.
They're competing with Krishna. Yeah, why should I? I don't want to serve. I want to be the master. Let me have many servants. Okay, yes.
They doubt the motivation of the person requesting a service.
Yeah, they doubt the motivation. They think they'll be exploited. They think they'll be exploited. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Prabhupada also called it causeless unwillingness.
Causeless unwillingness to surrender, okay. Good, in the very back of this lady. Thank you for your service attitude, Prabhuji. It's very nice.
Thinking what's up to be, I mean, we don't have anyone else, like me, who else is there?
Right. Okay. So I'd just like to give an example of one of our devotees who had a service attitude with Srila Prabhupada. It's a story again. They were on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and he was in a park, and he pointed to a bunch of trees, and it was a bit off the path, and he said, Gaurasundar, can you bring me some small branches from that tree about this thick? So he went and he thrashed through the bushes and he reached the tree and then they saw this huge tree shuddering and shaking. And then he came back with a huge handful of branches running to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took them and he started picking off the leaves in the park, walking down the path and picking off all the leaves. And then the devotees were too scared to ask, you know, why you want these branches. She said, we were dying to know, but he was silent and we were too timid to ask. Quietly we walked on and Prabhupada was taking all the leaves. And then he broke the branches into 8-inch pieces and took all the bundles in his hands. And she said, I was dying of curiosity, but I just watched quietly. Suddenly, just as we were leaving the park, Prabhupada smiled brightly and said, these twigs will be my toothbrushes. This tree has very medicinal sap. It has very antiseptic properties. And he flashed his smile and perfectly white teeth. You want to have teeth like mine at 80? You cannot use a toothbrush. You must use these tree twigs. It will keep your teeth very healthy. So he later said the best twig was eucalyptus. But mango is also very good. And on the East Coast, where eucalyptus was not available, he used birch trees. So in Calcutta, we used to offer green twigs to Radha Govinda every day. And we used that as our toothbrush for 5-7 years. Very, very nice. And I didn't have to go to the dentist that whole time. Until then, I started using toothpaste again, then I had to go to the dentist. But they're very good, these neem twigs. Very antiseptic. So mercy, benedictions. He says, Brahma, you will never be deprived. You want to expand your service and increase the population. My causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time. That's benediction for us also, protection. And Lord Chaitanya also gave the benediction if we preach that we will not be disturbed by the material energy and we will again meet him. So verse 37, he says, Brahma, you just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration and no pride will disturb you. So now we come to verse 38, which you do have on your paper, and this explains what is mercy. Three things. What are the Lord's mercy? So we'll sing this verse. I'll say one line, and you can repeat after me. Yascha katangamastotram Yascha katangamastotram Makatabhyudayankitam Makatabhyudayankitam Yavattapasi tenishta Yavattapasi tenishta Sa esha maranugraha
Sa esha maranugraha.
O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. So three things, prayers, austerities, and nishtha, firm faith. These are the Lord's mercy. So if we pray to the Lord, if we do austerities for him, and we have faith, then this is the Lord's mercy. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, it was interesting when Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he had an operation, he was under anesthesia, he had a vision that Srila Prabhupada was reporting to the previous acharyas about us, people on this earth planet. He said, they can't do any austerities. They're not very clean. They can't follow rules and regulations. Only one qualification they have. They have firm faith in me. So that was our qualification. We had Guru Nishtha. And whatever Prabhupada said, we didn't think, you know, we just did. Like he said, go to India. We went with a one-way ticket. We didn't think, he told us to go, he didn't tell us to go back, so we didn't go back. He just told us, go. And people say, what inspired you to go to India? So Prabhupada said, go. So we went. So that's how we took the words of the spiritual master with full faith. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he says, there is one qualification for spiritual perfection. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification. And so he said, this is, we can put it in modern New Age words, just do it. You have some service, you think, okay, I don't have any facility, so what? Just do it. Or even if you can't just do it, just try to do it. And then Prabhupada will help you. Even if we just try, even if we can't do it, you know, it's beyond us. We just try to do it. So Prabhupada, he was, again, we were talking about yesterday how he was so compassionate, how he was interested in liberating not just the human beings, all living entities. And we were talking about the different insects that Srila Prabhupada was helping go back to Godhead yesterday. So I have one more story about insects. And these were bed bugs. And this is a story of Govindadas. I mean, bed bugs, nobody likes bed bugs, right? They really just eat you completely. And so Govindadasi was telling how she was sleeping on a blanket on the floor in the kitchen. Prabhupada, she and her husband were taking care of Srila Prabhupada when he was a little sick. So in Satsrupa, he had an apartment also. and they were sleeping on a blanket on the floor. She was, and she would wake up with red bites all over her cheeks. She tried to turn the other direction with her feet to the wall, then her feet would be covered with the red marks. And Swamiji asked us how we were, and he saw the red marks, and she said, "You know, some bugs are biting me." And Prabhupada laughed, and he pointed to his window. He said, "Yes, they also come here, but I stay very still. And when they think I am asleep, they come, then I catch them, I chant to them, and I put them out my window. By their breathing, they know just when a man is sleeping, but I can trick them." His eyes sparkled as he told how he tricked the little bedbugs by pretending to be asleep. So that night I tried tricking them, but I fell asleep and got bitten as usual. And the next night, and again, and again, and again, to no avail. I couldn't catch them. A few days later, I told Swamiji, "You know, I tried every night to catch them, but I can't catch them. I beat softly. I try to pretend I'm asleep, but they're too clever. They don't come and bite until I'm really asleep. I don't know how you do this." So Prabhupada laughed. He wagged his head side to side, saying, "Yes, you have to be very expert." So Prabhupada, and you see, he didn't just get them out. He would chant to them before he would get them out. The cockroach in Montreal, same thing. First he would chant to the bed bug, Hare Krishna mantra, and then he would throw him out the window. So this is the mercy. This is Srila Prabhupada. Yes.
So the insect will now be born human, because they're not going directly back to God, or are they, supposed to say?
Yeah, well, the Prabhupada touched them with his hand, so who knows what's going to happen to those insects. I don't know. Most likely they will get a higher birth. They will get a higher birth. Because, I mean, if Prabhupada picked them up and chanted Hare Krishna, I mean, he gave them initiation, I guess, you know. Chanting, they heard, the soul heard the sound of Prabhupada chanting to them. So who knows what could have happened. He chanted to the cockroaches, he chanted to the bed bugs. I mean, who gives initiation to the bed bugs? And only Prabhupada could do that. We can't imitate. Lord Chaitanya, he chanted to the tigers and the elephants and the deer. And Prabhupada chanted to the bed bugs and the cockroaches. I never thought about that, but that's a very interesting question. Who knows what could happen to them? They could be born as Guru Kulis in our book. Could be. Or maybe that little cat outside that's coming to the temple. When I travel, I see little kittens like this, you know, joining. There was one in Slovakia on the farm. He left his family of, you know, mother cat and daddy cat and brothers and sister kittens, and came to the temple, and he comes to Mangal Arati. He's a brahmachari, you know. He's a kitten brahmachari. And devotees love him, and they play with him. And yeah, and this one, too, seems like a candidate for spiritual life. Okay, so we should pray like Brahma. All desires will be fulfilled if we try to get the mercy, pray for the mercy, pray for protection from deviation and from pride, and offer beautiful prayers and perform austerities, and our faith will become fixed and we will get eternal mercy. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or additions or comments. Yes. Oh, Vito Advani has a question.
The definition of mercy is by nature that it's causeless, right? It's not justice.
Right.
So yes. What is the connection between mercy and our activities? Because sometimes Lord Brahma is saying, "By my penance, etc." But really, mercy is not caused by our activities. So can you?
Yes. No, the Lord is saying that this is my mercy. When you're offering prayers, that is the Lord's mercy. When you have faith, that is the Lord's mercy. When you're doing austerities, that is the Lord's mercy on you. So what is it? Prabhupada said in the purport, I just read it, the only qualification is voluntary endeavor. We just have to try. to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, and that is the mercy on us. That is what we have to do. What we have to do is just try to follow. And Prabhupada himself said that when somebody asked him the question about being a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, I'm not a pure devotee. I'm just trying to follow the instructions of my spiritual master. And he wouldn't take credit for anything. But so we have to try. And just try. Again, in this verse, Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yovit Tatata. If you just understand the birth and activities of Krishna, when you leave your body, it will not come back. Punarjanma na vidyate. So Prabhupada, when he talked about that verse, so Krishna says, if you understand, if you know. But Prabhupada said, even if you don't understand, if you try to understand, you will get liberation. So he's giving us a lot of mercy, he's giving us a lot of concessions, because we're born in Kali Yuga and we have dull brains. So that's why it's very good to try to follow his instructions and follow him. You just try. In fact, when someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how can I chant attentively? He gave a 7-word answer, which includes hearing, chanting, and feeling. It means includes the ears, the tongue, and the heart. So very interesting answer Prabhupada gave about how to chant attentively. He said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Now, very interesting. So sincerely is the heart. And we're trying to hear ourselves chant. So hearing and chanting must both be there. We must be attentive in our hearing and attentive in our chanting. And if you can't do both at once, just do one of them. Some people are more into hearing, some people are more into chanting. So then we choose one, at least chanting, and then the hearing will come. And if we're hearing, then the chanting will come. But sincerely, that means with the heart. It means opening our heart, being able to receive Krishna as he comes in the holy name. Yes, Sukha?
Over the years, also I've heard that even if you don't feel like you can try, you always hear if you have the desire to have the desire.
Right. If you don't desire, then desire to have the desire, too.
Right. Was helpful to hear that.
Right. Any other comments or questions, Ranubhati?
You were talking that chanting Hare Krishna, and from that we'll be connected to the super soul, where the super soul will instruct us from within.
Right.
Did I understand that right?
Right.
So what about all the kirtan melas that are going on? They're chanting for hours at a time. They may not be chanting japa, but they're chanting right. Krishna. So how does that work?
Chanting japa is your own personal upliftment, and chanting kirtan is everybody together uplifting everyone. And it can be more powerful that because it's the Yuga Dharma. The japa is our following our instructions of our spiritual master for our own personal elevation, and that has to be done for those who are initiated disciples. Very important, because we gave a vow, and we must follow that vow. And but kirtan is it's easier because you're together. And you may not be so enthusiastic, but if everyone's enthusiastic, then you also become enthusiastic to chant. And that works wonderfully. Because the whole group becomes ecstatic, then you become ecstatic. Normally you do. I mean, it's hard not to be. If you don't want to be, okay, you know. But it works. Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're chanting japa or kirtan, you'll still connect with the super soul.
Yeah, of course.
Even though one's individual and one's collective.
Yeah. I have experience in both. Like, I was in Sweden, and I was in the kirtan, and I was about to give Bhagavatam class, and I was praying for some blessing and some answer came to me that, you know, just it was the whole basis of the whole class during the kirtan. And I was so happy that that happened. I was giving a class on Varnashram. That was the theme of the Alviks Sangam, Sadhu Sangha. And I was giving all the classes were on Varnashram, most of them were on Varnashram, and I had to give class. And then during kirtan, I just realized, oh, it's based on love. Varnashram is based on love. And then I had the examples already in my lecture, but I hadn't somehow connected. And so it was the first thing I said, and then everybody thought, yeah, right, you know, it's correct. And then, the verses came and everything, but I get a lot of inspiration during kirtan as well, especially if I'm praying for it. Praying for it in kirtan, also teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, I get understanding. Even during kirtan, I get a lot of answers as well. I guess it's if you're looking for it, then you get it. If you're looking for it. I was trying to understand the invocation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I understood that it's what he saw later on in the seventh chapter. He was seeing Krishna and Maya's behind and the living entities are trapped. But that was his realization. And then he expresses it in the beginning of Bhagavatam. And it goes on, the sea verses, it just keeps going. But I could never have thought of it myself. But kirtan and japa, both are the same inspiration. Both are the same inspiration. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I was just praying for blessings and so these things come. These things would come to me. And it's not my own. I never thought of these things myself. So who can? I have to give the credit somewhere.
You've taken a vow to chant 16 hands, mm-hmm. But instead you sit in the kirtan for 2 hours chanting Hare Krishna. Is it interchangeable? I mean, I'm just asking because some people are trying to figure out.
It would be nice, but I, from my understanding, chanting 16 rounds means japa on your beads, and kirtan is extra. That would be extra. That is extra things. The way Prabhupada trained us up was Mangalarti, chant your rounds, more kirtan, morning kirtan, all day kirtan, out on the street kirtan. But that didn't, we still had to chant our 16 rounds. Even though we did 10 hours Harinam, but that didn't count for japa. You know, it didn't count for japa. Pardon me? Okay, you had a discussion in 79 in Mayapur.
And what I remember that as Bhakti Chalmaraj was mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says chanting required two things, the ear and the tongue, both, mm-hmm. not just the tongue.
Yeah, right.
And Uche Bhashanam Iti Kirtanam means it has to be sound enough to hear.
Right.
So itself is Kirtan.
Right, right.
When somebody sincerely chants, it's loud enough that he hears. That mm-hmm. itself is kirtan.
Yeah, so are you saying that japa is also kirtan?
It's also kirtan.
Yeah, but he also said
Prabhupada wanted us to follow minimum 16 hours.
Right.
That is most important.
Yes.
Just now.
And he also said many times that Bhagavatam is also kirtan.
Yes, yes.
And those of us who were typing, we were on the typesetter typing Macmillan Bhagavad Gita, also in Boston. We were on a 24-hour shift. And he said, when you're typing, you're chanting japa. He told us. When you're typing on this typesetting machine, you're chanting japa. This is japa also. But we didn't count it as our 16 rounds. But we did extra rounds on the typing machine.
Thank you. There's a letter in Vedabase to Bhagavan Das. Mm-hmm. Who asked the question to Prabhupada through the letter, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. because Prabhupada replied him through the letter. It's in the Vedabase. He asked the question that in the temple, everybody is chanting. Now, is everybody going to get equal result? How's the result is producing? Something, I'm paraphrasing. paraphrasing the last word, I'm not sure exactly.
Right.
So then Srila Prabhupada replied, he says, as per your question, when someone chants, this chanting is connected with the absolute truth. It's very scientifically, I thought it was like the way Prabhupada put it. And proportional to his conscious acceptance, according to realization and faith, his result of chanting will be produced. So how much faith, what I understand, how much faith I have on the word of Prabhupada and the scriptures while I'm serving the holy name under their guidance, that much result will come.
Well, he also said acceptance.
Acceptance.
So acceptance means being receptive, being open. Just like this morning's class, mercy comes to those who are open to receive it. Where, and mercy is equally distributed everywhere, but if you're open for it, then you get more. According to how open you are, your capacity to accept the mercy. Okay, yes, over there. Oh, okay, and then Chatari, and then you, and that may be the end of the class after that. Yes.
So I'm trying to think of how to phrase the question, but I'm remembering that in the 12th chapter, Krishna is talking about people who were very, very dear to him. Mm. And he mentions that the devotee doesn't follow the ordinary course of activities. So
he doesn't follow the ordinary course of, actually you can add material activities if you check the purport.
Oh,
he doesn't follow the ordinary course. Means he's not like the materialistic people. He may do the same work, but it's not the same. It looks the same from the outside, but it's because he's doing it for Krishna, therefore it's not ordinary. It's not the ordinary course of activities where everyone's working for his own fruitive result.
I probably misinterpreted it. To me, you know, I have a tendency to be improvisational.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to be careful.
Okay.
Next question. Chatari. Yeah.
I was just wondering, in these prayers that you printed out, some of these prayers, he's speaking, oh, my Lord, you know, it starts out, oh, my Lord, and then he'll say, and then he'll kind of indirectly say something. He'll say, let me take shelter of the lotus feet of him.
Right.
Yeah, I just wondered, you know,
why is he not saying you?
Why does he change the, you know, it's like he's speaking to someone else, or not right.
That's interesting. You notice that first he says, oh my Lord, and then he says him, instead of you. Well, I don't know why he does that. I gotta ask Lord Brahma. I don't know why he's doing that. That's his way of speaking.
But isn't Krishna loves indirect speech? He says, Parokshabhav,
okay.
Yeah, Krishna says that he likes indirect.
Okay, so that could be an example of that, okay. Indirect. Okay, next question behind you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for that.
My question is, once you do receive some mercy in your life, what is the next step? What are you supposed to do with that? And then
wonderful. Wonderful question.
Is, can that mercy be taken away? And what do you do to protect yourself from that?
Okay, so the first question is what to do when you get the mercy in your life. So I would like to throw that question to the audience first. I mean, I have the things that I would reply to that. I'd just like to see what you all think. When you get the mercy of Madhumati. In the mark.
You were mentioning that how you got the mercy from Srila Prabhupada and it said be blessed, but then you thought, I have to do it again. So,
right.
You're not getting the mercy.
You get the mercy, but then you have to, again, try for it. Okay, good. And anybody else said? Okay. Yes.
Nachogao bhakta sangha karasang kirtan krishna nami upadeshi tarat sarvachan. Be happy, be thankful, and dance, chant with the devotees, make your life successful, and distribute
Thing
to others and deliver everything.
Very good. Yeah, my first response would be to be grateful.
Yes.
that say, okay, thank you, Lord. And then the second, again, and I also thought the same thing, then, okay, who can I give it to? Who can I share it with? And if you do that, then you won't lose it. You won't, if you share it, then you won't lose the mercy. And if you think you lost it, then you should keep looking, and maybe it came in a different direction or a different way. Because we don't ever lose the mercy. We don't lose it. We just, we don't seem to see it sometimes. Okay, any last questions or comments? Okay, so we'll stop here. Aglaishya Prabhupada, thank you for coming.